Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity in sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can't make a law where there is no law, comma. But this is Wretched Radio, unless there's a Bible verse that explicitly says thou shalt or thou shalt not. Always need to be very cautious in making a legal proclamation. Now, can we ever do that? Absolutely, because you can take a look at the totality of Scripture, the revelation about God and his character and nature. And even if it doesn't say, for instance, explicitly, don't let your kids look at Playboy magazine, we can use other verses that talk about the subject of lust and adultery and even idolatry, because that's what adultery is too, by the way. And we can then state definitively, kids should not be looking. No, nobody should be looking at Playboy. We've got to stop making that distinction between adults and kids. If it's bad for us, it's bad for us, no matter what age. Sure, you might be able to handle it better once you turn 18 or 28, but that doesn't mean it's right and good. Want to be careful that I don't step across a line of saying, if you're a parent, you got to stop letting your kids have cell phones, because I don't have that Bible verse. In fact, I don't have anything resembling that, because I did some very serious, I used AI. And it turns out they didn't have cell phones in the first century. So we need to proceed with caution. But I do think that there is a word that will help you navigate what you should do with technology and your child. And that word is, not going to shock you, wisdom. We just need some wisdom. And then I think we can make some pretty strong statements without crossing the line into making a law where there is no law, because now the data is in, which could provide us the wisdom that we need to make some decisions about our kids. If you are millennial or above, you were partially exposed to technology. Partially. Not every kid. My kids fall into that camp because, whew, thankfully, when the flip phone or the cell phone and the smartphone were starting to become all the rage, my kids were teenagers and we were able to escape it for the most part, courtesy of a flip phone so that they could call and text and we could communicate when they were out of the house. But they did not have a smartphone. I don't even remember when they got one, but I know it wasn't before they were 18. That's for certain. And we could get away with that. Barely. Gen Z, not so. Totally immersed from birth. It's expected. It is a given that your kid will have a tablet, a cell phone. That is just the social norm. Now, you might be the exception, but that is the norm. And now that we have a generation that was fully immersed in technology from birth, do we not have enough information to tell us if that's a good idea or not? And I think with some new studies coming out, I got to tell you, Mom and Dad, I get it. It's hard because everybody else has one. And you also perhaps think, if I don't give my kid a cell phone, well, then they're going to resent me. Yeah, I get that. But what if the dangers are so great and the effects of social media so profoundly detrimental that you then maybe the scale will tip to the other side? So I'm not trying to tip the scale for you. Don't want to make a law where there is no law. I get it. It is hard, but here is the information. This was a massive study that tracked 100,000 18 to 24 year olds. Okay, that's big. Here's the conclusion. If they got a smartphone before the age of 13, higher rates of suicidal thoughts, aggression, and emotional struggles. Girls, especially, 48% of the girls who got cell phones at age 5 through 6 report suicidal thoughts. That's half of them. Half of them. Now, it's interesting. The earlier you give a kid a cell phone, the worse these statistics are. So for instance, if a girl is 13, 28%. So it's down 20 points about suicidal ideations. But even that number should horrify us. This was from the Journal of Human Development and Capabilities that did this exhaustive study. Those who got phones before 13, higher rates of aggression, feelings of detachment from reality. I was so heartened to read that. You say, why would you be excited to read that? Because it's so negative. It's because it's something that I've observed. And it simply affirms a point that I want to make. When I have the opportunity to speak to students at Oklahoma U this fall, talking about deconstructionism, one of the points that I want to make, in fact, I just wrote it down in my notes this morning, you're detached from reality. Your reality isn't real. Social media is not actual. It is anything but what is. And so the kids are suffering from it. I think was speaking with Greg Giffert, one of our fellows here. And if you don't listen to Transform the Podcast, boo-hoo for you, you're missing out. But Libby's podcast is sort of like Transform for Chicks. Yeah. Yeah, I did just say that. But it's intelligent talk. It's smart and it's biblical and it's so helpful. Greg and I were talking about what will we have to say to the students when we're in Georgia at two universities this fall? What are we going to present to them? And we talked about the issue of reality and how the kids have been immersed in a world that is tailor-made by themselves, that they custom make. What is the effect? What is the impact of that? Well, when you are constantly, perpetually looking inward for personal satisfaction, well, you're gonna be a mess. Why? Because we're not made to be making all decisions internally. We need to be looking for truth externally. Furthermore, when it comes to externals, we're supposed to be giving to others more than doing for ourselves. More considerate, esteeming others as better than ourselves. What does the world scream to the kids via technology? You esteem yourself. And that is why the kids are so miserable, because they're simply doing reality wrong. And this the cell phone contributes to it. I have not heard anybody else talk about this, so take this for what it's worth. It's the curating. On the cell phone. It's the ability to design everything that goes into my eyes and ears is what pleases me. Everything. And if I don't like it, I swipe it away. Along comes a human being and says, I think you got that wrong. How dare you? And you swipe them away and they're unhappy and everybody's toxic. And we need boundaries every place. That is because of social media. Back to the study, early smartphone users struggle more with self-image, hallucinations, self-worth. Now, that's kind of a secular term, but just the same. I reject that term, but we also need to remember we are not slithering animals. We aren't pachyderms. We aren't beasts of burden. We aren't pets. We're image bearers. And that does something to, I'll use the word, psyche. Cell phone undermines that. Why? Because they're always comparing themselves to everybody else. Emotional control down. Resilience, particularly females. So they get knocked down. They don't get back up. Males show greater difficulties with stability, calmness, and empathy. 100,000 kids between 18 and 24 were surveyed for this. Guess which nations lead the way when it comes to kids that are kind of miserable? English-speaking countries. Why? Because we give them the phones earlier and we allow complete access compared to Africa, South Asia, the Middle East, and we're feeling it. The question, of course, is what do we do about it? Now, here's what the experts are saying. I'm just telling you, they're saying that we need to treat cell phones like alcohol and tobacco. And some governments are doing that. There are nations that are saying, hey, no. For instance, Australia and Sweden raised the minimum age of social media use to 16. Sweden reduced the presence of tablets and computers in schools. In Virginia, the governor, to his credit, introduced a measure to prohibit phone use by students during the school day, and it is going well. Guess what? Fewer discipline issues, happier, more connected students, because they aren't constantly distracted with that thing. Mom and dad, what do you do with this? Well, can't tell you what to do, but I can share with you the facts, ma'am. And perhaps what's maybe a rather obvious illustration nevertheless has some punch. You wouldn't give your kid a Playboy and say, just read the articles, honey. You wouldn't give your kid a lighter and a joint and say, only use the lighter and the paper to start the fire if you ever find yourself lost in the woods. You wouldn't do that. And yet, we're giving our kids the world, and the world, which last time I checked is one of our enemies, is winning. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. Athenagoras was a Christian philosopher in Athens who used his training to defend the Christian faith against Roman persecution. He wrote On the Resurrection of the Dead, arguing that the nature of God, the nature of humanity, and the concept of justice only makes sense if there is a physical resurrection.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Talk about providence. This is Wretched Radio. Everything is providence. I wouldn't call somebody a heretic because they use one of these phrases, but they aren't exactly as explicit as they should be. That was a God thing. God really showed up today. It's always a God thing, and he's always showing up because he's always there. Nevertheless, let's call it providence. Greg Giffert of Transformed fame, he started a brand new series on Transformed, which you can find wherever you do your podcasting business. It is an awesome pod. All of our podcasts, I'm sorry, I think they're awesome. I think they're great. I think they're so helpful. They're so practical. They're so biblical. You can find them at Fortis Plus. You can find them wherever you do your podcasting biz. Libby is doing a great job with the Better Way podcast. Thrive, Integrated, Way of Manhood, and Greg's Transformed, starting a new series. Jimmy?
Yes?
What's the new series about?
Ozempic.
Just Ozempic.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that funny? Because providentially, I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers an article from Spectator that talks about Ozempic and Wegovy being prescribed to children and adolescents. And I'm talking about a lot of it. Back in 2023, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended that we use GLP-1. It's a weight loss drug for kids and adolescents. Surprise, a 65% surge in prescriptions. Before the guidelines were altered by the American Academy of Pediatrics, 2.5% of young patients used Ozempic or Wegovy is the other one. And Jimmy, weren't those drugs intended really for diabetes to take care of your
A1C?
A1C. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what they were originally invented for.
But it's discovered, hey, the pounds just kind of fall off. So let's use what they thought was a diabetes drug for weight loss. And Jimmy, could I confide in you and sure. You alone?
Okay, yeah. I won't tell anybody.
I kind of wish that my A1C level would be at the point where I could get the Ozempic or Wegovy. I know I'd be happier because all of the people in the commercials are dancing, singing in the grocery store. Their lives are amazing on the Ozempic and the Wegovy. The problem is the kids are now being prescribed these things, an increase, like a tenfold increase in prescriptions. And we haven't taken the time to consider what is this doing to their brains. Now, I don't know if you've observed this. This is pretty scientific, but a child's brain isn't as mature as when they're an adult. Now, I've studied that for a bit, and I'm pretty confident in making that assessment that the child brain, it ain't fully connected yet. And we all know that to be true. In fact, scientists would say that the human brain isn't fully formed until you're like 25 years old. And so there's a lot of wiring that is going on, a lot of brain development that is taking place. And Ozempic and Wegovy appear to be messing it up. These drugs, this is from the Spectator article, these drugs activate GLP-1 receptors clustered deep in the brain's control centers. It's the hypothalamus and the hippocampus that govern appetite, memory, and emotion. What happens is these medications, the GLP-1, it tells your body what to do with food consumption. It dictates whether you're hungry or not. Well, that's interesting because it's doing two things. First of all, it's telling your brain, shut down, somebody else is taking care of business. Uh-oh. So when the kids get off of this, they're discovering that they're getting this nasty. It's called gastroparesis. The stomach effectively shuts down. And apparently this is a trend that is growing. The defective digestive system lives with constant nausea, unable to eat without discomfort. Wow. That's not kind. That's cruelty to children. Can you imagine your brain not knowing what to do with food and the consumption of it makes you miserable or nauseous all the time? What are we doing to our children? What is this doing to adults? Not only is it teaching the brain how to function or not function, we don't know any of the other effects on the brain because these pills are affecting the brain. They do something to the kids. GLP-1 drugs significantly alter dopamine signaling. That's the reward or drive or desire section of your brain, presumably. That's for love, ambition, joy. Well, guess what? If those regions of the brain are being affected, now we all know mind-brain distinction. That's Greg Giffert's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. You really should get that book and read it, especially if you have a kid that has been given a label like ADHD. Early dopamine interference has been linked to long-term increases in depression, anxiety, and addictive tendencies. Are we as a society ever going to actually talk about this publicly? I know I'm happy to talk about guns. Happy to talk about it. But are we also going to talk about all of these medications that are having negative effects on our children, including suicidal and murderous ideations? Furthermore, expanding it beyond the kids that appear to be on these medications or were recently on these medications performing atrocious acts, how's about all of the kids that are just feeling miserable? They're depressed and sad and lonely because they've been numbed, which, by the way, that's another Greg Giffert resource. It's going to be coming out in the fall. It's going to be, wow. It's called Life Without the Numb, because that's how they feel on these medications. It's synthetic. It deals with the brain. It's messing with kind of the control center. Now, we know the mind is who you are, but that doesn't mean that the mind isn't affected by the brain and vice versa. The brain is not insignificant, even though we recognize the brain is not who you are. Your mind, your heart, that is who you are. And we're affecting the kids' brains. Here's what the article said. We've created a society that would rather drug children into thinness than confront the deeper issues. Ultra-processed diets pumped up by billion-dollar food conglomerates. Homes hollowed out by absent parents and broken routines. Bodies kept idle by screens. And a society that sneers at self-discipline while worshiping instant results. This is another one of the things that I think Greg and I are going to talk about. I think specifically Greg is going to talk about when we go to campuses this fall to check out our new initiative to see if we're going to do it big time in 2026, and that is invade the campuses. And one of the issues that everybody is dealing with on the campuses is mental health. The problem with mental health is it tries to use medication all too often to try to alter the brain or to give you some sort of technique that will help you cope with it. That's mental health versus transformation. Altering how you think, altering how you process, altering what your values are, altering what your morality is, altering the position of feelings in your life. That's the distinction between, say, Christianity/biblical counseling and what the kids are doing to feel better these days. They're using mental health. One more quote. We've traded mentorship for medication, parenting for prescriptions, human resilience for chemical compliance. We are a society. We want it, and we want it quickly, and we're not doing the kids any favors. And this is happening. Schools that they think that they're trying to help the kids because it seems nicer. They're not. I was reading an article on something called restorative justice. Are you familiar with this? The idea of restorative justice, this was Bill de Blasio's idea. Restorative justice calls for schools to provide students and staff the opportunity to talk through conflicts and never punish kids with meaningful measures like suspensions. $100 million has been spent on this practice. Incidents requiring the New York Police Department School Safety Division more than doubled. Why? Because never holding a kid accountable isn't good for a kid. Is it hard? Yeah. Do I get it? There are social factors, of course, but justice is justice. And it's not nice to not discipline a kid. I think I've shared this perhaps a number of times. When I visited St. Jude Hospital in Memphis, one of the questions that I asked the docs was, what's one of the big struggles for the kids? What do they find hard? And I was expecting something like they can't play, they can't be with their friends. They immediately said their parents don't say no. That's fascinating. Why? Because saying no, if it's not done cruelly, is an expression of love. So is discipline. We're living in a world where adults are, frankly, abusing children. I think there's a number of reasons for it, but a pill, something quick, an injection to lose, that's a whole lot easier than having to be a parent. Talk about a nation with confused priorities. This is Wretched Radio.